The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. Rob is now here for today's episode of Stream Streak.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Hello, welcome to the Talk Gamer. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to the 40K Adjacent Show, starring my two reindeer of joy, the Falcon and Val Fulfinger.
Tis I.
Tis I. Now, there's some things you need to know. Pete is actually, Pete, because it's Christmas, he's brought the whole tribe over. If I'm right in thinking, yeah. Pete's house now has over 83 people in it.
Yes. That's the limit of people allowed in my house during coronavirus is 83.
He lives so in an Guardian rooming house.
So I maxed it out. It's 1,500 square feet, literally just people. I walked over a carpet of people like Fulgrim in that really weird novel from the Forest Heresy to get to my laptop.
Yeah, when the demon finally takes over him and everyone's just kind of like, yeah. Fuck it. It's super weird.
Yeah. So weird. Why would they write that?
I don't know. Such a weird scene. Yeah. Because I sometimes wouldn't think that you live in like a log cabin halfway up a mountain. And then the other half of the time, I imagine you living in like an Amish paradise where there are just dozens of enthusiasts.
Actually, that's a good point. I've never actually considered the terrain of high level. Is it foothills or are you... You're not mountains there.
There is one mountain and then plains. Well, it's Taiga, actually, but that's...
What's a Taiga?
It's like a desert in the Arctic.
Fuck.
But also lots of woods. It's all over the place, man. It's a who's who of different ecologies. So.
And where Pete is, he's particularly fancy because they still have trees.
Yeah, we have lots of trees. Like that's our main industry right now is cutting down like white beechwood trees and selling it to the Japanese to build temples.
In England, we would say that's very 1400s of you to have that many trees. that's pretty big. Can I just say a massive hello to everyone who's in the chat? Mamdare for subscribing as well, who's currently ice road trucking. He just sent me a video. I don't know exactly where he's ice road trucking, but it looks pretty serious. There's been a question in the chat for you, Val. Is that a Buffalo Bills hat?
It is. The AFC East division champions, the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bills are a National Football League team known for their incredible incompetence. They have not won their division since 1995. The year after they lost their fourth consecutive Super Bowl in a row. It's the Buffalo Bills.
Wow. That's congrats. Is football the American football,
the
soccer?
Not the footy
one. Around here we call English football soccer.
Soccer. Which is fun. We did have some soccer, just restarted, and then we got the Rona 2. Rona 2020. Which is
Electro Boogaloo.
Yeah, which is exciting.
Oh yeah. Yeah. By the way, Rob, about those plans for you to come visit Canada, or Canada visiting you, gonna have to say that's a no-go.
Yeah, that's a no-go there, bro.
Big negative. Big negative.
You and your Yankee bud can stay out of here, okay, bud?
I'm afraid, bud, it's too late for you, bud, because like the last helicopter out of Saigon, the announcement of Tier 4 in... That's what Tier 4 in England, the financial hub of the world, led to a exodus of the rich and famous aboard planes to all manner of places, including Canada, Europe, and everywhere else, which I can only describe as insanity. Oh. They were like, all of you, don't go anywhere. It's a hot pocket. And they're like, okay, we can't go anywhere. Like, well, no, you can go somewhere today and tomorrow, but in 2 days' time, don't go anywhere. And everyone was like, sweet, we're going to leave. So... expect COVID 2 from the UK. It's kind of like colonialism all over again. Only, oh, yeah.
Hey, this is how you conquered the world the first time. Why not give it a second go?
They're just going to throw blankets out of airplanes for us.
Yeah. Maybe. Oh, wow. The English are giving us. Wait a minute, Pete. They can't make blankets. They lost that technology many years ago. here in Ontario, we have another similar genius thing, which was that we're going to our version of tier four, which we call total lockdown.
total eclipse.
Except on Boxing Day. So we're just going to hang out with our families and then go for Boxing Day. So we'll kill our grandparents, then lock down responsibly for 4 weeks. Perfect.
Oh, that sounds fun. That sounds fun. But in lighter news, is there any
no.
news? Is there any?
Yeah, what's this 83.04% loading bar we have in the middle here?
Oh, in the middle. Can I just do a special shout out right now to Carwin? Big love to you. Carwin overnight pushed us up to 83% on the trick. We for the studio, because we have to print a lot of terrain for the tables so we can run events. We have to get a lot of terrain. Me and James, who does the Monday show, we had like a long, long production meeting for a while. And the cheapest way to do it is to get some 3D printers and then 3D print it. It kind of brings your costs down as much as possible while maintaining quality. You can obviously do it much cheaper. LGT, you know it. Let's get some foam from a Pikey's warehouse. Yeah,
are we still using that name, eh?
We're still are we allowed back to say? Now. Are we allowed to say Pikey? are we allowed to say that?
Is that okay? Twitch chat?
That feels wrong, eh, bud? I'm not so sure.
It's okay. You guys use all sorts of weird words, but anyway.
How does one actually give money?
Oh, there's just you press the exclamation mark donate in the chat. Like, I feel awkward talking about it. But either way, what we end up doing is printing out some terrain, which is super fun. And I guess that kind of leads me to a fun conversation with Pete and you, Val. go on. Go on.
I say exclamation point in the chat.
Exclamation part donate. So Colonel Cabbage has already put it in there. There you go. Thanks, dudes. And thanks to Hermista for subscribing.
Click on that.
Exclamation! Did you genuinely just do that? Did you just write exclamation? What the fuck is that? Oh my god!
I just saw. That's all I heard. I heard you say something about an exclamation mark.
Anyway, Pete, you've been watching loads and loads of bat reps. You got any thoughts on the terrain that you've seen so far? Tournament coverage, because the Art of War guys, big shout out to them, they just did four table coverage this weekend. Was it just this weekend gone? No, the weekend before, wasn't it? Or was it this weekend?
No, it was this last weekend at the Art of War Down Under. They did the Queensland Masters, so it was okay. It was decent. Terrain's very interesting right now because you can have enough of it and just have it in the wrong spot and it's absolute garbage. I really like the WTC tables right now. They might be too much, but right in my mind right now, that's like the pinnacle. I've played a few TTS games on now, and they're just like they're very well thought out. So that's my go-to. I mean, I've watched a lot of other stuff. Like Tabletop Titans generally has really good terrain. Their last game, not a good example of good terrain. They even said it by the end because it was like a two-round game. They had Admech versus Dark Angels, and they changed the terrain just a little bit to make it more comfortable for the Admech, and it made it real bad for the Dark Angels, like turn two tabling bad. So you have to be so careful with it these days. But yeah, WTC is like my go-to currently, and I know they're still making adjustments, but it feels real good on those tables.
Yeah, Battlechode, thank you for donating £26 to the show.
Damn it!
£30.
Well, now we've paid you too much.
Oh my God! Thank you so much to all of you, your angels. Appreciate that. Oh, I don't know.
Also, you can see Battlechode could do the mental math better than I could.
What were you trying to do?
I was just trying to top you up to whatever your goal is. Oh, oh, what? I didn't even get. What
thanks,
is your
bud.
Goal?
Wait, don't aren't you like? Is it like math one of your main jobs?
I have like assistants and people that do that. It's fine. Spreadsheets and things.
So Val from the 40K Stat Center, based on maths. is... mm-hmm. Anyway, thank you so, so much. Anyway, the I played a game on the WTC board the other day with the terrain. And Pete, I'd agree with you. It feels like a lot until you have something out in the open and then you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
40K when you've got your stuff out in the open is really, really scary.
yes.
And Val, you and me played a game with the terrain, like the WTC set terrain setup. And other than obviously Big Stomper being very vulnerable, there were some options to hide stuff quite well, I thought.
You know, the sign of a modern introspective human being is an essential feeling of vulnerability and openness. And that's what the Stomper represents to me.
It's very vulnerable. It's very, very vulnerable.
He's a vulnerable guy.
Yeah, anyway, so I think that's one of the interesting things in the future. That's what the fund is, thanks for donating to it, and printing out terrain. But I've been on a bit of a journey with the terrain, because actually getting terrain, and I don't know what, so obviously...
Stop the presses! I read something in the chat.
What is it?
WTC captains voting for Forge World is interesting news.
Yeah, they voted today, and they allowed it with a, was it 20, 18-18 was for Forge World, or 21-15 was
for like women getting
World.
The vote, man. Forge World and the WTC, this is crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
The Forge World suffering jets are rejoicing everywhere.
Yeah, 21-15 for Forge World. 18-18 was the vote for secondaries using the new faction secondaries. So they're going to allow them, but they might change. And it was 18-18 for scoring. So they're going with the WTC scoring. So,
oh, so they're still going 20-0?
20-0, yeah.
I think that's actually really good. Like, at first I balked at it initially, but then after that, like, it made a load of sense.
But why? It seems like a silly, needless complication, as, you know, is true to their roots. But why? Why do they need to go 20-0? I don't get it. What's the benefit?
I think the benefit is it helps in the team format in being able to, like, go for extra points or not go for extra points. So, like, the... Falcon! Oh, for God's sakes. Thank you so much for donating to the show as well. You're fucking both on the show and all of you. It makes me so awkward. And, like, you're literally there. What can I do?
Nothing you can do about it.
In it. You're at 100.
Did it process my message at least? Let's see.
Yeah, I can read that. I can read that. I can read the messages out.
Good.
Stop being poor.
You're welcome.
What did I write?
You're welcome.
Falcon wrote, stop being poor. Forty K Satsa said, you're the worst, but also the best.
Uh-huh.
Agreed. Boucho didn't leave a message, but I'm just going to say, he likes you. Okay, you've derailed me now, and I'm all hot and flustered. Please continue on with the show.
Merry Christmas. We can all breathe
Merry
plastic
Christmas.
Fumes.
It's just because at this time of year, I want to live out my working class factory.
It looks like you're sitting by the fire now. It's great. Keep going.
Just you know the scene in A Muppet Christmas Carol where they're all working in the factory shoveling the coal. It's kind of what I want to do, but into a 3D printer.
If you get the black filament, it kind of looks like coal.
I did get that. I got that for no reason other than I was like, I buy black clothes, I should get black filament. That makes sense.
Naturally.
Thanks, Pete. The vote. Pete, you got any thoughts on the 20-0 thing?
No, I'm perfectly fine with it. I talked with Innes and a couple of the other WTC guys about it, and I know why they were interested
who did you
going.
Speak to?
Oh, Innes Wilson and Tom Adriani and people.
Innes, what? Sorry.
Oh, Boss Baby. Sorry, I apologize. Innes Boss Baby Wilson. So I get the idea of why they want to do it. It's easier for certain metrics. So I'm cool with it. I don't mind. As long as they get the points differentials correct, that'll be my thing. They're going with just 5 points per, like for each bracket, and I don't think that's appropriate, but that's it's a whole thing.
Okay. Why don't you think it's appropriate? I
did some calculations on what the averages should be.
You did some calculations.
Yeah, you know, I just went and took every game that I've recorded and every game that was in BCP, and kind of tried to figure out what it would be. And then I sent it to Tom, and Tom was like, yeah, that's cool, but like, we're better players than all those people, so we should just go by fives. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, I don't think you are.
Man, what a nerd. But I don't think you understand how this works. The vote, very much like any other vote, as far as I understand, and definitely based on Tom Layton's reasoning for not allowing Forge World, is it's purely done on feeling. Zero information necessary, just feeling-based voting.
I mean, they asked me for information, so that was good of them. And then they were like, no.
Oh, that they asked you for information so they could just deny it to you, to your face.
I'm joking around. Tom's a really good guy. But yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, that's
great. Now, the there's the papacy, and then there's the WTC Captain's Council. I mean, they're roughly the same thing.
I would like it. How, the WTC voting council, one of them leaves, and then we have to wait near a game store for the black or white smoke to see which of the new ones.
I was about to say, like, all the captains in their respective countries are just like puffing smoke out, and there's some guy with a telescope trying to figure out.
They're just vaping in front. Just go, yeah. Does it smell like gingerbread cookies or
blowing it into a Zoom call?
There's some questions in the chat, and I really want to come back to them. I need to massively thank Copenhammer Simon for donating £6.69. Hilarious, which did take us to round number 69, but then Colonel Cabbage also donated £9.69 at the same time, causing a kerfuffle of percentages. My favourite thing is watching people donate the oddest amount of money, and then I'm like, that is a weird amount. Maybe it's a and then I look over and I'm like, you've made a round number of 69% in the chat. Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, big shout out to Budtastic Guy, who's also in the chat. Pete, who's in the chat, says, "What?"
I just want to ask: is Copenhagen cabbage snack? What? Copenhagen? What? Is that a dip reference?
What?
Like a shredded tobacco reference, or is that just because he's from Copenhagen?
What's shredded tobacco?
Yeah, it's a form of tobacco you throw on your lip, also known as a lipper, and then it causes your saliva to run. And you spit a lot and get dizzy.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it goes down like the side of your head like this while you're trying to do a press conference.
and then you fart.
Yeah. Have we talked about the farting? Because the farting was just like the pièce de la résistance.
It was super.
Snooze is different than dip. Snooze is actually a very safe way to get your nicotine, apparently. The Swedes love their snooze. And snuff, that's just a fucked up way to get your nicotine. That's funny.
My friend Jonathan, he always has the snuff stuff or the thing, whatever it is, it's like a weird like bag and you put under your lip.
Yeah, that's snus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's Swedish. And apparently they have like some of the lowest incidences of tobacco related cancers. And it's a lot to do with snus. I might be spreading misinformation, so don't go out and get addicted to nicotine on my behalf.
Please.
I myself prefer Big Pharma solution to getting your nicotine. Where was I?
It's okay. We guys know that you guys can obviously represent Big Pharma, but we know you've already previously represented Big Plastic. So
we did. Yeah.
Big Plastics.
Big Plastic. anyway, sorry. Question from Pete in the chat over in Northern Ireland was to Pete in Canada. What sort of like points differential / scoring? Have you got any thoughts on what you'd like to see? Val, I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that.
Okay. This is a group of people who have spent my entire life in 40K. Speed frozen?
No, I'm just thinking.
That really looked like you froze. They've spent my entire 40K life talking about how they play the real 40K. And now there is real 40K that everyone's playing, and they're tweaking the format, which is fine. I just find them hilarious sometimes. By the way, they are very good at 40K. I can't deny that anymore because I went there and had the worst time of my life. But they are funny in the sense that they play a very specific brand of 40K that is theirs and always has been, and all the power to them. I think it's great that they added back Forge World, or added in Forge World. That is a bold step into the future.
And also adding in Codex Secondaries is a big step. Because I missed that part. Yeah. So I played a game on Saturday with Death Watch. I played Death Watch. I'd like you both to know that I included nearly 20 Hellblasters. And can I tell you that that was a complete waste of everyone's time? Like, we were just chuckling. I was like, I'm going to unload with you. You're fucking it. I'm going to overcharge everyone. He was like, no problems here. Yeah. I was like, one wound. One wound from these. These suck. Yeah.
Hellblasters are awful. They've never been good.
Yeah, that's never happened. There's never been a moment where someone's been like, man, I'm glad I brought these Hellblasters.
Oh, you know what, Val? Thomas Bird will tell you that assault Hellblasters are the greatest thing in the world, and you need to tell him to shut up. He's wrong.
Do you know that he's 7 feet tall? Because you could tell
him. I've met him. I think he's got weak knees. I'm looking at him, I'm like, I think your knees are weak. Go low.
I mean, Greg, like, literally gravity would be his biggest enemy. That is literally the only thing higher in the food chain than Thomas Bird is gravity.
I've never met him, but he sounds like a tall fella who's got.
I mean, if you just look out your window and crane your neck, you could probably see the top of his head from where you are.
Yeah. Thomas Bird, if you're listening, you choose terrible units in the game. I'll tell you. Yeah.
He's a big unit himself.
But my point was, is that even though my list was just basically the Marines that I painted, so it was basically all the stuff from the starter box. I also had 10 Inceptors, Pete would be happy to know, Val, but they were bolter ones.
Oh.
So I was really...
Are you one of GW's professional list builders?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, I'm sorry, Frank.
Are you getting ready for a White Dwarf battle report?
Anyway, I'm playing against some Necrons, but the point was, thank you to Pragmatic for donating £6.90, you babe, you absolute babe. The important point is that I got 15 points for just doing nothing. Like, even though I was getting tanked, like, my army wasn't very good, like, the whole thing, I still just got 15, and it brought the game quite close, points-wise. Like, neither of us scored particularly high. I think it was something like 58 to 38 or something. That was like a 20-point difference. But like, it wasn't a particularly high-scoring game, but like, most of that was just me turning up and being Marines. Which is wild. So I really do think that the secondaries maybe is not the best call based on... It's one instance, but it felt weird to me that that's going to be included.
Yeah, it really depends. I mean, we're a year away. We'll have to see... Or almost a year away. We'll have to see what kind of secondaries come out for everybody else. But right now, like, Oath of Moment is just so strong compared to literally everything else everybody has access to. And I don't think that's going to change in the near future. And there's a few others that... Like, the Death Watch Xenos one is real dumb if you're playing into orcs and such, so...
Well, I'm just not going to think about that issue.
Okay, you don't want to talk about it.
No, Death Watch playing into orcs. I'm just going to gloss over it. I think it's fine. That would be, for me, I think, like, simplifying is always better. So, like, removing that would have been a good way to remove a silly variable. Yeah. How did they vote on, was there a vote proposed about how many Space Marines can be on a team?
I think they didn't vote on it. I think they all just agreed it's going to be one book.
See, of all the things that skew the so-called ETC meta, I think that's the biggest one. I think you're going to get it'll be cooler, but to have only one Marine book on a team of 8 people when there's 10 Marine books, I don't know. I think they could have done something like what the ATC does, which is on a team of 5, you could have a maximum of 3 people or 2 people. I think 2 people with the Adeptus Astartes keyword.
I don't think I agree with that. My thoughts are is that like maybe in last edition, maybe, I don't know, or if the books delineated from each other more, but it really does feel like you just overlap buffs, like from like the core book units being good, and then you just give them the appropriate buff in whichever supplement you've added on. so it doesn't feel like they don't feel very different upon reading slash writing or even like looking
at Rob's teeing this up. Pete?
Yeah, go on, Pete. Got any thoughts on that?
Oh, I agree. I think at this point, other than Blood Angels and Dark Angels and Space Wolves and Death Watch, so like the ones that weren't part of the book to begin with, every other Marine faction is basically writing the same list now. Because unit efficiencies are really strong. And then when you look at Blood Angels, Dark Angels, and the others, they're taking in Plasma Inceptors because they're too strong. They're taking, too strong comparatively to the rest of the book, and Vanguard Vets. And then they're just adding in, like, their book-specific units that are better, right?
Okay, well, this is new.
It is very new.
I mean, even on that logic, though, you would see probably... You know, the four books that have their own book rather than by the way, last year they would have all been able to go as independent armies.
That's true. Yeah.
So I think they probably should think about the supplements differently than they're not their own book. And I don't think they should be viewed as individual books either, because then you would just have teams of eight Space Marines right now, probably, or close to. So I understand why you'd want to cap it, but I don't think having it set to one is particularly representative of this game.
Okay. No, I don't think it's representative, but I think it creates it's one of the things that I was super conscious of for the Super Series, par example, like a lot of thought and consideration going into that, in that like what I wanted to create with the band phase, more than anything, I wanted to create list diversity. There's been a really, really, really fun TTS event that's happened over the weekend for the Age of Sigmar community, where a couple of guys wrote all of the TTS lists ahead of time, and then they wrote like very like off meta kind of weird list, but then a lot of like quite competent, very, very good players played in this TTS event, like very, very competent players realistically if you look at their like win rates and stuff, and then he played with these like janky weird left field armies, and what was quite interesting was is seeing like if it was the list that performed well or the player, and we obviously know player skill is predominant ultimately. But a strong list will be interesting. However, just weird, janky, odd list. What I'm saying, it was a fun event. And I think anything that can be done to promote diversity on the tabletop in army lists is actually really, really healthy for the game, for the viewer experience, which is something that's really important to me, maybe even for the players. And also as a way of, the thing that occurred to me at the weekend is we were having conversations about units that we just often don't get to have conversations about. I also ultimately, I also kind of like the way the game works sometimes, where you end up with like Plasma Inceptors being a good example, or Sanguinary Guard, but we know that they're really good, right? So I don't have to go and learn about like Hellblasters, that there are three different weapon loadouts on the Hellblasters. Like, I don't have to learn about it. So like they become these kind of like conversational points in a game that's very convoluted. There's lots and lots of data in there if you want to include everything, but because everything isn't really relevant, because some stuff's not very good, you actually just get to have those key conversations. Like when you talk about Harlequins, obviously, like, you know, you're talking about the Mortal Wound bikes, and, you know, you're talking maybe not talking about Solitaire, but you're talking about Shadow Seer, etc. So you get to have those little conversations, and you don't have, not that there's anything not relevant in that book, but maybe you don't talk about Death Jesters, let's say. So it's quite
good. You don't talk about Void Weavers.
I really love your format. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I think it's a lot of fun. I think it's great. However, it's its own thing, right? And I think that needs to be said. And I think WTC has always prided on itself on playing. They're supposed to be purists, I think, and at least that's how they carry themselves. They really are the best at this game. They actually are really getting good at the game. They send countries will send incredibly good players who train specifically for that moment for an entire year, and play a lot more 40K than most of us play in our lives in preparation for it. So no doubt about that. And so I just feel like for their thing, it should probably represent 40K a little better. And I think banning or like making a one codex just doesn't represent that. And the other thing is too, is that it is its own thing. Like, it's not like ETC and WTC have always been its own meta and its own approach to 40K. It's always felt different because it's, even in singles, WTC format is heavily influenced by the team build styles. So, anyway, I don't know. I'm rambling. I love the ban phase and what that does. And we're going to see WTC teams that will be really interesting. And on top of that, because it's a real mixing pot of in a lot of cases, very isolated metas with very, very good players. Like Team Russia often will come up with weird shit. Poland comes up with weird shit to us that works. Australia will come with stuff that now we know about, but perhaps once upon a time would be a little bit surprising, you know? So like you have a convergence of very different takes on the game. And so it makes it super fascinating. Pete's mocking me.
That's what Pete always does. So he gets to keep himself awake if I want.
Pete's making fun of me.
Ultimately, it's always all interesting. Even mirror matches I find fascinating. You take the two Marine players, you put them up against each other, they've got what they've got. I still find a mirror match to be as fascinating as everyone else. I think the conversation, or the long-winded conversation is does that become interesting, like, over time? Like, could you really be arsed with watching more Iron Hands fights towards the end of 8th? You know, could you be bothered, like, to keep watching that match over and over again? Maybe you could. But an interesting one. But allowing Forge World, I mean, that's the hot scoop, I guess. Really,
it's real big.
Hmm.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, yeah.
No thing. I think a concept for a 40K tournament that would be awesome is actually everyone playing the exact same list. Someone was joking about like having a Space Marine on Space Marine tournament and the thing, but I think that's a great thing for TTS to try. Someone out there to just run, like take the archetypal best performing list and just have everyone run it. Cause I think that's a really interesting way to isolate skill or isolate, natural imbalances in the game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. I think one of the interesting things about allowing Forge World, as Nikos has pointed out, is, significant because obviously, WTC leading the way, Games Workshop not even allowing Forge World in their new battle roster competition. Battle Forge, sorry, that's what it's called. Have you guys seen this? Exciting Battle Forge has been. I actually don't know if I've asked either of you. It's out. Did it come out since I last spoke to you? Did we ask you last week?
You didn't ask last week, no. But it's been out, yeah.
Yeah, it's been out. Well, have you guys had a chance to play with it? What are your thoughts?
Yep. If you're not making a Marine list, it's not bad.
Okay.
When you're making a Marine list, it's not fun. I have not had any fun making any Marine list in that thing yet. But the other factions, I haven't had too many problems with.
Have you made an Orc list yet?
No. So maybe that's a pain. But
Actually, there was a pain at launch. I don't know if they've cleaned it up. Rob, have they cleaned it up?
No, sir.
Because like yesterday, I was like, I'm going to make this Blood Angels list that I have in Battlescribe. I'm going to carry it over into the app because I like the output for the app, at least for like sharing it with people on Discord and things like that. So I was like, I'll do it. And half an hour later, I was still trying to make the list because pulling up like extra relics, extra stratagems just sits and takes forever. And some of them were missing. And I was a little disappointed. A lot disappointed because I was hopeful that it would be getting better. But I've made like custodies lists and such without as much issue. So I think there's a point where it'll be okay. It's just not there yet. Mm-hmm. And then the articles have not helped.
I think
the reviews.
No. Like, did you see the like professional list builder article yesterday where they had guys make, like, I felt bad for Paul Murphy because it's obvious they asked him to do it like forever ago. So it his Blood Angels list had the wrong points and some weird choices in it. The Necron list had a Nightbringer and an auxiliary detachment. And everyone was wondering why. And it's just because the app won't let you put Nightbringer in a detachment unless it's an auxiliary because of a glitch in the system. So there's stuff like that where I'm like, man, maybe wait a week before you do that article, like fix it up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean that's really on brand of them, but ultimately, that's just the best joke of 2020.
I think for me I like the app in the sense that for sure, if we got rid of some basic stuff such as you know having the correct elements in it, having the, you know, ability to make legal lists and things like that, which we'll get to. I suspect those are fixable issues. I think what's apparent, though, is that the fundamental way that this app is constructed is the same as the rules reference, which is indicative of not a particularly well laid out database of information, because you can have similar records with different values. Mm-hmm. And so that's a little worrisome, because it's going to be like playing whack-a-mole with that thing. If it really looks like every single element in it is entered separately. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but it feels that way. So I don't know. More systematically is my problem with the app. I would hope, and I hope at some point there's just going to be a big update and they just change the way it works entirely. But the horse that they're riding right now is probably one that's going to be very frustrating for them to manage. And yeah, because I think they will get to a place where it does work, but it will, I suspect, constantly break.
Agreed. And I also worry a little bit about support in the future, because they've not supported the Sigma app, and there's a whole bunch of stuff to say, which unfortunately why means it is one of the reasons I think it didn't win the App Awards 2020 first place.
I did watch the App Awards. Watch the App Awards. They didn't even get nominated, but Azir did, which surprised me to see Azir get nominated given their lack of support for 6 months or so.
Well, it's genuinely never been a particularly bad app. The list builder is really like, because no one uses the list builder. Like it's never a feature that anyone's ever like. Someone's gone, do you want the list builder? Everyone's gone, no. There's War Scroll Builder, which is superior and free, and we all use that, and it's perfect. And it's updated immediately, so no one's ever asked for anything else. So like War Scroll Builder existed before even points existed for Age of Sigmar. Mm-hmm. Because like, and then they did points, and then War Scroll Builder was still there. Then eventually they integrated into the community site. We all still use War Scroll Builder, and everyone just used War Scroll Builder. It was fine. And then they were like, "Hey, we're going to add a list builder to the app," and everyone was like, "Give a fuck! Like, we've already got one. Like, why would I use something else?" And they're like, "And it's £1," and everyone's like, "Again, there's a free thing. Why? Like, thank you for bringing like a, it, you know, anyway." So it's. Azir was still on there, though, because it gives you the free data sheets, which I think is actually really cool. And I think the 40K app still has free data sheets, which is actually excellent. I will say that.
No, you have to be subbed. You have to be subbed to get your the 8th edition rules. And then you have to own the print copy of the book to get. Although you don't have to be subbed, you have to own the print copy of the book to get the 9th edition version of the rules.
Yeah. That's right now.
Of the data sheets?
Yeah. That's everything.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you buy the codex, you have the rules, and then if you're subbed, you automatically have all the 8th stuff. So
yeah, like, because the best thing about Age of Sigmar app since launch, which I honestly think has sold them millions of pounds worth of models and has maybe got so many people in, is right now just open my phone, like log in 6969, obviously, and then I click the app, and then if I want to look at any unit like a cockatrice, I just press it, and then I know all of the rules available. And it took exactly that long.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, Merry Christmas to JVP. Oh, yeah, he's smiling. JVP. Is this JVP's first time?
Tell us something, Jake. Wow.
Destruction.
JVP, is this your first time on the mic?
Yeah, this is a hot mic. It's a hot mic, JVP. Be careful with it. You don't want to get yourself into a weird situation. You got a lot of years of content production ahead of you. Okay. All right. I got you. I didn't mean to censor you. I love you. Poor guy. Really? I'm going to go help put him down. Be right back.
Yeah. That's okay.
Weirdly, JVP looks a lot like you when he starts to cry.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I do. I do also look like a baby, much like Ennis Wilson. That's why I grow a beard.
Just to differentiate.
That's the big difference, yeah, because Innes is incapable of doing so due to his baby nature.
Well, he's a boss baby. And as
he
you
is
know,
a boss baby.
You're very rarely allowed facial hair when you are the boss.
True.
I'm so happy we've got JVP on the show.
Oh, he's the best, isn't he?
Isn't he cute? Yeah.
I think he's very cute.
JVP's like his dad, crying all the time.
Wow, wow, wow.
Wow, wow, wow. I don't know where we were. What were we talking about?
What were we talking about? You, Pete was talking. That's why I wanted to drop the baby in there. Just nuke his whole point. Oh, we were talking about the app. We were talking about the app.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking about Azure and how they deliver rules there and how that sold millions of pounds. I think, yeah, it's just, to me, it feels like there's conflicting strategies at play, aka like, like old models that they've just, and like by that I mean like business models that they have just done automatically forever, meeting like their idea of what might be a new model to use, and they're just crashing into one another, and neither one is being done particularly well right this second.
Yeah. Well, so before he goes, I don't know if it's Adam in the chat or Diff. I think it's Adam. Did any of you get to catch the Queensland Masters coverage the weekend? Because I thought it was really professional and really well done.
Yeah, it was. It was really well done. I didn't caught round one and a little bit of round two before my sleepy eyes had to say go to bed, Peter. But I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. Like, there was obviously like a small issue, but like that happens live first time, like with frame rate and stuff. But they were soldiering on. Audio was excellent, which is like a key component for me. Like if you can't have like that audio being crystal clear is super super useful for me. Really fun experience, and I'm super proud of the boys. Like trying their hardest to make that a thing. So it looked great. Big love. If you guys haven't checked out that, check out the Art of War 40K Down Under. The didn't make the jokes. Fine, that's fine. Good ones,
Colonel. If I could double back to App Talk, Colonel Cabbage is saying something here. Which, Pete, have you seen this? He says you have to be sub.
Yeah, I agree with it.
And when you get a new book, you lose access to the free sub stuff. Yes, as the new stuff goes behind a paywall, even with a sub.
Yes.
So yeah, if you own your book, you have to be sub to the app to have your digital rules.
No. What he's trying to say is, so you, if you don't have a sub, right, every new book that comes out, if you're buying the books anyway, there's going to come a point where there's no reason to have a sub, right?
Other than the sub will give you no access to rules. The sub will only give you access to
List Builder.
To
the List Builder. $60 exactly. List Builder. Yeah, that's what he's and it's 100% true. It's something I've been talking with a few people about. Is a very interesting scenario they're going to run into. Is like when does that critical mass hit? Unless they make the List Builder absolutely spectacular or improve your access to core rules, because right now the core rule search function in that app is one of the worst features in my opinion. It's so hard to find what you want for the core rule book. I find the codec stuff is fine because most of the time it's like a very specific thing you're looking for.
The name of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So if you know the name, it's actually quite simple. The data sheets are nice to have access to, but Colonel Cabbage is hitting on a thing that I've been talking with a few people about. It's you're ruining your subscription by doing it this way. So
yeah, it's super weird. And we all know that Wahapedia is obviously free. So big love to that. The point with, the app is going to become really relevant in about 2 weeks, Val and Falcon. I don't know if you guys have had this conversation yet, but so after the show later, I'm going to go to the shop and I'm going to buy myself some extra tin food, more than I would normally keep in, and a couple more bags of frozen veg. Because import export is a major issue in the UK at the moment, because you cannot take flights in and out of the UK. You cannot actually travel across any of our ports right now. Problematically, plastic is probably low on the list of priorities of things that are going to get in and out of the UK, as well as books. And the inability for anyone in the world to buy a digital copy of, let's say, the Death Guard book we know is coming out, or the Jukari book, because you can't buy it in the app or digitally at all. And so therefore you need to buy the digital book. But I'm not 100% certain. I'm not trying to fearmonger in any way, shape, or form. Because I honestly don't know. Like many people in the UK, we're living under the, are we going to have fresh fruit and vegetables? It's a genuine concern right now. So there's also the opportunity that, there's also the chance that import and export of Warhammer goods may be curtailed for a while, at least. Maybe that's not the case. And again, not trying to be a fearmonger, just a genuine thought. And I wondered what Pete, this is normally, this is a foul question normally, but got any thoughts, Pete, on Pete not getting over there?
No, I mean, I live in a spot where I have a hard time getting the stuff anyway. So it's change. The only change is that now nobody will.
I will, because I can just go down the road. I have to fight a horde of hungry folk. But like, I'll do it.
I think that, okay, first of all, if you have a confluence of basically being travel banned because of this strain of coronavirus and Brexit happens at the same time, there are probably bigger fish to fry than whether or not GW is able to export its plastic toys and books. If you're them though, and you're beholden to shareholders and you need to continue operating a business, then, you know, I would hope that the executive team had prepared for the eventuality of a potential no Brexit scenario, especially as it's become more and more likely. And it very well may not happen. I mean, Bojo could be doing brinksmanship here, trying to hang on to the last bitter second to try and get a deal that doesn't look like the same deals that they had before. So, you know, he could just be doing that, and that's very possible, and it could be, you know, an 11th hour thing, and they say, cool, Spanish people can fish off the cliffs of Dover, no problem. So that could all just go down that way, and then it's not a very big deal. And then there is just, like, the normal coronavirus stuff that is going on, disrupting supply chains all over, specifically just shipping out of China, which I think we talked about last week, is tremendously disrupted just because there's so much more things leaving China than coming into it that they have a shortage of literal shipping containers. That should ease over time as things catch up. And also as they just build more shipping containers. So again, that should get better. But their books are printed in China. I think that's pretty much one of the few. And they do limited plastics there. I think they do some of their terrain in China. And their books, right? Am I right about that? I'm right about that.
They've started printing books here in the UK.
Oh, they have? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, well,
like,
then...
where's my copy of my spacewalk book? It should say right on the back here. Designed. Oh no, so sorry. Designed in the UK with a UK flag. And then if you stop reading there, underneath it, printed by China. So sorry. So
which is
sorry.
Fine. Like, yeah, that's what I thought. Anyway,
well, it's like I ordered some photo books, you know, for all the grandparents and stuff of lovely JVP there. From photobookcanada.ca, thinking that that was from Canada because I was ordering super late. It left a plane from Malaysia, like, and got to the United States where it's being sent to me in less than 24 hours, which is wild. So, like, I don't know. Global logistics are nuts. But anyway, I'm not surprised that these things are printed in China, and that's good because usually that's going to, you know, provide a little backup. I think if anything, they should have more redundancy. They should be able to, you know, produce locally what they can in different parts of the world. I think that would be an interesting business plan for a company that makes as much money as they do. So they could have, for example, operations in Asia and North America. And then if something screwed up happens in any one of them, they have redundancy in their supply chain, which right now they don't. So they could be very pooched. And on the bright side, what this might do, let's look on the upside here, guys. What it might do is force them to adopt a digital model. Could happen, right?
Merry Christmas for everyone.
Wouldn't be that hard for them to add a different subscriber tier. Say, you know what? Shit, I don't want to say out loud what I'd pay, but it's a lot. Like, I'd pay Netflix money easily for access to all rules. And, Bob's your uncle. If they did that, I would bet that the app would blow the F up. I think if they tripled the cost of the subscription and said, you just get all the rules, I think that app would make crazy money for them.
I just think the main issue is it's a case of, like, not even a case of could they, it's a case of, like, they might have to, which I think is one of the, or they'll start to plan to move physical operations overseas. This is also an option to do that, but that doesn't happen overnight. That's not like an immediate fix. And we're talking about like instantaneous problems. We've already seen a codex like I don't want to bum anyone out. It's Christmas. I just thought I'd bring it up, but whatever. Yeah.
No, like... there's some real stuff happening out there, and you know, like I said, like from a like what's most important, you know, fresh fruit and vegetables probably higher on the list of EU import export stuff that they're worried about. But as a company, like and you know, that needs to maintain itself through crisis if it can. You know, this will be something they'll need to manage through, and we'll see how they do.
So that's I need to. I'm trying to move the conversation somewhere else now because I feel like it's a bit depressing.
Oh, okay. Well, I think but think about the upside. We might get digital rules.
Yeah, that's what. There's the hope. That's what I'm hoping for. Mainly because I keep painting up these flyboys.
Look at those little guys. Is that a flesh mower?
No, I don't have any. I've just got people. Just keep sending me the Start Collecting boxes or stuff from 8th edition or the Conquest magazine. So they're like, oh, I've got one of these. So I've got like, at one point I had 6 typhuses for Christmas. I've just been giving people different, I'm like, you fancy a typhus? And they're like, oh yeah, thanks. I really appreciate that. Just been giving them away. So I've got, thanks very much. Yes, I've been enjoying painting these guys up. I can't wait for them to have a codex. And I just also can't wait to play some games, ultimately. That's the kind of the sad part. Are you guys got, what are your Christmas plans, Pete?
My Christmas plans are to sit in this household and maybe Zoom call my parents on the East Coast, and that's really about it. I bought way too many presents for my children. I realized as I was wrapping them, and
some of them are birthday presents now.
Well, so my youngest son, my middle child, he found some gifts and was very depressed about it. So they became today gifts a couple days ago, so that helped, but,
Okay. Nice. What you got planned for food? That's always, I think, a big question, at least in...
Oh, I bought a turkey yesterday, and we got some stuffing on the go, and I've got all the stuff for our kind of traditional squash and peas and other vegetable scenario. So we'll have a feast that'll probably feed us for 5 to 6 days, and...
Again, I understand that, like, probably you have a supermarket that does sell turkeys, but I also picture a toothless, like, old man who you go down, you'd be like, hey, bud, want a turkey this year? And then he's there, like, I've got a real felon in the back. But I guess that's not the
situation. So that, when I first got here, that's what I thought the situation was. I don't know if I've told this story, but when I moved here, I was expecting just mud huts and that was really about it. And I went to the airport my first day and met like the guy that was supposed to introduce me to the town. And he drove me down like one street and he's like, okay, if you want to go grocery shopping, you go to this place. And he called it some weird thing. It was like Bob and Joe's. And I was like, go to Bob and Joe's. So like the next day I was driving around town and I couldn't find this Bob and Joe's place. I was like, where the hell is this grocery store, Bob and Joe's? And I found this one grocery store, that the only one I could find. It was called the Four Winds. And I went in and it's this tiny little hut shop, essentially like someone's house, essentially, with like a little bit of groceries. Everything was stupid expensive. And I was like, oh my God, I will never be able to survive here. The food, like peanut butter was like $20 for a small container. I was like texting my wife, like, man, there's all this stuff you're going to need to bring with you when you move up here, because like everything's ridiculous. It's just like we kind of read about these other northern communities. So for like weeks, I was buying at this like really dirty, small, tiny shop, all my groceries. And then one day, one of my coworkers was like, hey, I saw you come out of the Four Winds. Why were you there? And I was like, well, because that's the grocery store here, idiot. And he was... And he was like, dude, like, there's a superstore, which is like a large Canadian grocery chain. It's just like down the road. You just like turn right, go by the subway. And I was like, we have a subway? He's like, yeah, there's a subway. He's like, 2 streets down from where you are.
Just did you arrive in a blizzard? Because I feel like you have to drive past all of those things to get to your house.
No, unfortunately, I didn't have to. But yeah, so I was like, oh, I walked in. And it's like just like everywhere else, the prices were reasonable. It's like just a giant superstore chain. I was like, anyway, so this Bob and Joe's used to be, or whatever it was called, used to be Kevin's is what it used to be called. And then they like got bought out. So this guy was just calling it by its old name. And I was like, oh, okay. Anyway, it was a whole thing.
Was that the original store before, like, the, and they never changed their prices? It's just like,
yeah, right? Like, yeah. So, yeah.
All right.
There's, well, somebody, there's somebody, like, were you just in an emotional state at the time? Because it's like, Google Maps exists, word of mouth.
You've Google Maps high level. Like, it's not a... Yeah. So I was alone. I didn't have a vehicle. I didn't bring a vehicle with me. So I was basically walking everywhere in minus 40 degree weather.
Okay. That makes, story makes more sense. Yes. Okay.
So, like, there was a lot of other things going on in my situation. Our taxi cab service is kind of like a, you call them and then maybe they show up because it's just like some guy who's slapped taxi on the side of his van.
Yeah. Like, how many taxis does High Level have?
I think there's three.
like, seriously.
So, yeah. Like, so I was walking all these places and it was super cold. So unless my coworker was driving me somewhere until they shipped my van over, or my, I was like, okay, well, I guess these are the only two streets in this town. So
that's insane. That's insane. It makes me laugh as well. Like, it's just fun. That's I would like to be there and see it. But the differences in how I picture your town are like classic Canadian, kind of like big, with loads of like big shops and stuff, and then also not that, and like a frontier town. Where you've still got like trappers like stretching skins out on the washing line, etc.
Sounds about right.
Val, you got an exciting Christmas planned, bud?
Well, not particularly. We're trying to be responsible, so we'll probably do dinner with my wife's parents because they're sort of in like her social bubble or what have you. So we've been pretty careful about that for a long time. And then my parents will drop a dinner on their porch and run away. And they'll give Christmas. John will give Christmas cheer to everyone. And then we'll wake up on Boxing Day and just have each other once again.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's all good. But yeah, no, we'll make do. I've got a few friends and family Zooms and sort of video chats lined up on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, which I think is great. I really do feel like I have, even though they're like this relationship, I feel like I'm in better communication with people I actually care about more than I ever have been. So that's been a really nice silver lining of all this. Tragedy. So Christmas will continue to be merry and, it's going to be awesome, I think.
Good. Good. That's positive. I'm happy to hear you're both going to be happy. That's going to be a wish for nothing more on these season's tidings.
And what of you? Are you more excited for Father Christmas or the birth of Jesus?
Both, because interestingly, in my narrative, Father Christmas gives birth to Jesus out of his penis. So,
wow.
Wow,
didn't see that coming.
Uh-huh. And then he becomes a new elf on the line. He births a new Jesus every year, and then they get added into the workshop line that is Santa's horrific factory system.
Tell me about Elf on the Shelf?
Can I tell you?
Oh, Pete can, maybe.
Well, I assume, I don't know if you do the Elf. Elf on the Shelf, from what I understand, is like an eviler version of Santa. Because Santa's supposed to like see you when you're sleeping and not know when you're awake and all that. But like Elf on the Shelf is like a physical representation of that oppressive nanny state in your house.
I think that's the original plan. And then it just became like, how can we be shitty people and then take pictures of it for social media? Like, that's what I think is what it turned into. I've never been. We do have an elf on our shelf, but it's like an Advent elf. So there's like candy canes in his feet or some shit. And that's about the extent of it.
You just hemorrhage his candy?
Like he's got little pockets all down his like little leggings, and you put candy canes in them every day. That's about the extent of our elf on the shelf.
Like postules and like Hershey kiss and come out.
Yeah, it's real gross. Super gross. Don't do it.
We keep ruining Christmas. How many times can we ruin Christmas in one
show? Podcast? Well, I'm looking forward to Christmas. I'm doing three shows over Christmas.
I saw that. You're doing three shows.
It's about plugging your Merry Christmas Day content.
Well, no, it was genuinely to ask how your Christmases were going. Like, good friends we get it would now. Do. People are like, how is... we...
Rob's just trying to get another 3D printer out of us. I get it.
Well, you're going three in a row. You're going to be like Apu running the Quickie Mart. This is going to be awesome.
With all my slushy machines. The next fund is just going to be for a slushy machine in coldest winter. But more than likely, I'll be raising funds for vegetables.
No, man, you gotta like just put a bunch of dirt in the top room of your flat and like just get like a nice little indoor grow up going. Like you can use poop like in that Mars movie with Matt Damon.
This is going in a way worse place. You can use poop like in that video on Pornhub. And,
Nope, not that one. No, none of that one. Too adjacent.
I'm super looking forward to Christmas. Like I've always had like a tumultuous time at Christmas because I haven't had any family for my whole life. Well, since I was 18. So like it's always been like, am I cooking for my friends, which I often would do. Then if I had a girlfriend, I had to be like, look, you can't come over. It's my friends, and they were always like, fucking. Like, or whatever the situation would be. Or I'd have to go to their house and like pretend like I somehow integrated into a genuine family setting and wasn't deeply uncomfortable the whole way. So like now, this year, like I've finally been able to like turn a corner. Yeah. And I'm just going to hang out with the Twitch chat and do my only thing that I really truly give a fuck about, which is paint and build and talk about Warhammer. So
God bless.
Thank you so much. I'm genuinely excited. Like all week I've been like, fucking can't wait. Going to turn the stream on. No pressure either, because it's Christmas, so I don't have to like perform or keep the conversation on track. If we want to go into a 3-hour deep dark dive about import export of plastic, I'm in. One could tell me what to do. But you two are cordially invited, if you have the time at any point over the Christmas period, to jump in the chat. It's, as it says, an open house. You can do what you like. Come in, say hi for a bit, leave, whatever.
Well, I'll say I am working Boxing Day, and I expect to speak to zero airplanes. So if I am working, I may just hop in for the majority of my shift.
I would love that. That would be great. I love the idea of a good old the open house is a great idea. Owen came up with the name, but I think it's just going to be super fun. And I can't think of anything. Like, if you ask me, what can I do over Christmas? Speak to you two, to speak to the rest of the guys that I know. Like, that would be a Christmas that I would have, and so I get to have it. So actually, very excited about Christmas. Like you said, Val, like weirdly we're not with each other, but everyone gets to be in touch a bit more, maybe.
It's strange. It's more like all of the social circumstances that would force me to hang out with people who I don't mind but like wouldn't necessarily always choose, that doesn't exist anymore. So now I just hang out with the people who I love and like the most, and that's nice.
I'm looking forward to it. Plus, the term grotto gang that Gitly's just come up with is excellent, and I'm into it. So, I'm looking forward to it. That's it. I think it's time now so Pete can get some sleep.
I can probably nail down 15 minutes.
By the way, I've like really lowered my energy levels for today because like I'm really starting to understand like it's early morning for you two. So like I'm not running at it with the hype. I'm starting to adjust to everyone.
Also, when you sit down with that particular backdrop, it's fantastic. It works perfectly.
Yeah, perfect.
It really does.
Also, for some reason, I thought that was an LCD screen for a long time. Because I think maybe in your studio you have an LCD screen?
No, I don't have one at all. This is
much more affordable. This is just a green sheet on a wall. Not to break the fourth wall, everybody, but there's no actual tree or fireplace. It's animated too.
You guys can see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're
really
on.
Blowing my mind, man.
We're you set it up so we can actually see you now.
I don't want an LCD screen here. I'd be so conscious all the time.
Like, that's how they shot Mandalorian.
What?
Mandalorian is shot on a soundstage with like gigantic wraparound OLEDs. So that like all the backgrounds, instead of being green screen, for example, like you might notice some of Rob's shiny white skin turns kind of a green tinge. That's from the green screen behind him reflecting the lighting back onto him. So that actually causes a tremendous amount of trouble in post-production for all the movies, which are all like After Effects. Mm-hmm. So what they innovated for on The Mandalorian is that instead of doing that, they have whatever they want to superimpose in the background on an LCD screen. So then actually the light that's being projected from that is the light that you would want on him anyway. It's fucking cool as hell. It's like an entirely new way of doing things. And it's why The Mandalorian looks like hundreds of millions of dollars to make, but it looks like a very, very highly produced film because of some of the production techniques they use. So look into it. It's really cool. It's the first time I've been excited about Star Wars in forever.
Yeah. I even have watched it. And it's great. Okay. Yeah.
It's great. It's everything I need from a Star Wars thing.
Okay.
It's okay.
I give it a 5 out of 7.
Games Workshop, if you wanna nail whatever it is you're cooking up, just look at Mandalorian. That's all the people want.
Get some Disney money.
I guess you can't really have the cute baby in 40K, no, so we'll have to sort that out.
I don't think you could do Mandalorian version of 40K at all. It doesn't make any sense. First thing that would happen, the Marine would just fucking punch Grogu in the face and stamp on his head. That'd be the funny first scene.
The funny thing is like the equivalent is Cherubriel or whatever, the like shackled demon that Eisenhower walks around with is like,
yeah. It's like they could make a Grogu version of that.
That's funny.
Just adorable. Because, I mean, the Eisenhower series is coming. They can just retcon him to be like a tiny little green man, little green baby.
That would be really funny if they tried to go like cutesy with it. Like, very funny.
And then he like punches through a Warhound Titan or whatever it was in that one scene. I'd be into it. Take my money, GW. Give me demon host Grogu.
I think I prefer what Yoda Gussel said in the chat. I want to see like the orc who is on a different mission to protect one Gretchen, like to get it back.
Can we talk about that anniversary orc just very quickly?
Sure.
Its name is Gorzag. And this is my last anecdote. Gorzag Rukdaka was old young Val's war boss when he was a kid.
Oh,
and
really?
So now there's, and I own that original Games Day model. It's still in my army. And I'll be definitely picking up. This is the first model release I've been legit excited about forever. So there you go.
Do you think it's an exciting new take on like the Orc range? Like, could you see new boys in the future looking like that?
They're probably going to be beefier. I'm curious to see the scale of them. That's for sure. I'd love to see how big he winds up being. Because the original sculpt of that guy is hilariously tiny. I'll be happy to pick him up. I can't go to a store.
You would assume new orcs would be the size of Primaris, at least. Like, they're on an equal toe-to-toe footing, size-wise. So,
ish. Maybe a little smaller, but not much smaller.
Lore-wise, I have no idea. Well,
okay, I've turned into a pumpkin. Let's go. Gentlemen, ladies, Twitch chat. Val, Merry Christmas. Falcon, Merry Christmas to you, your families, everyone. You guys are great. Thank you, everyone, for supporting the show. Thanks
week,
for the podcast,
top
20 guys.
Things about 2020.
Oh, yeah, next things. Top 10 things about 2020. Here we go. See you guys later. Merry Christmas. See you guys
Merry
tomorrow.
Christmas.
Bye.